Well, good evening, each and everyone. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter number 11. Matthew chapter number 11 tonight. Thankful for the special tonight and the words Pastor Gable just shared. And as the Lord always does, it is kind of what we're speaking on tonight. I'm thankful for that. One question that is always, well, first of all, thank you for praying for Rich. His surgery went well. And I appreciate your prayers and pray for his recovery now, but everything did go well. Appreciate your prayers. One question that's always been difficult to answer is why and how a young person, or anyone really, can know God, know who he is, what he can do, and yet turn away from him. How can we not all just run to him and surrender to him and willingly want to serve him? That should be something that just should be a natural response of knowing the God that we have. And when we think of Christ, when you think of the Lord, you know, what is it? Who is he? What do you think about? And there's all kinds of things. We could talk all night about it, I know, but God is love. He is almighty. He's omnipresent, he's omniscient, he's omnipotent. It means he's everywhere, he knows everything, and there's nothing he cannot do. He is our fortress, he's our rock, he's our high tower, he is long-suffering, he is the creator. I could go on and on and on, but our God is an awesome God. When we describe each other, if I were to have you describe, you know, one of your friends, you would probably talk about maybe, you know, how tall they are or short they are or how skinny they are or blessed they are. Maybe you'll describe their eye color, their talents, their maybe athletic ability, their hobbies. You might describe their friends, their sense of humor. If you were, you know, someone was describing me, they probably talk about the fact that he's a pastor and he's a basketball coach and stunningly handsome and all these other things that they'd probably say, you know. But while we'll know each other, you know, and you'll know your friends, and you could probably describe to me your parents and other people that are really important in your life. But, you know, for me, no one other than the Lord knows me better than my wife, because she knows my heart. The Bible talks a lot about our heart. In Proverbs chapter 4, you don't have to turn there, but Proverbs 4 and verse number 23, the Bible says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Your heart is who you are. Your heart, in biblically speaking, I'm not talking about that thing that's pumping inside of our chest, right? The biblical heart, that's who we are. That's why we do what we do. Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 21 says, "For where your treasure is, there will your what? Heart be also." You can look at your bank statement and know a lot about your heart. You know, before I decided that, you know, I didn't want to die an early death and I needed to get my body under control, you could have looked and saw a lot of White Castle on my bank statement, right? And had to change that, you know. Kind of need to take care of what God gives you. So you know, but things you love, you're willing to sacrifice for, because that's where your heart is. In Psalm 139, verse number 23, David said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts." Your heart is where your heart is. That's where your thoughts are going to be. What you're always thinking about is because that's where your heart is. And if all you can think about is, you know, a certain thing or a different sport or a person, and your heart's there. But my question is this: do you think about God? Do you think about the Lord? Because where your heart is, your thoughts are going to be there. In Proverbs chapter 23 and verse number 6, Solomon said, "My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways." Where your heart is, that's where your attention's going to be. Wherever your heart is, that's what you're going to pay attention to. And I know some people that can tell me every stat that's ever recorded, it seems like, in baseball or whatever sport. Okay. How about the Word of God? How about preaching? What was preached on at your church Sunday? How did the Lord speak to you in your Bible reading today? In Matthew chapter 12, verse number 34, it says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Wherever your heart is, that's what you're going to talk about. Now, I say all those things to say this, you know, the heart is kind of the center of who you are. It's why you do what you do. It's why you think about what you think about. It's why you listen to what you listen to, and why you pay attention to what you pay attention to, and why you say what you say. It's all because that's where your heart is. You see, your heart is not part of who you are. Your heart is the center of who you are. It's you. That's why you do everything that you do. Some of you have crazy hearts, apparently, right? That is a joke because you're crazy, right? But the fact is, our heart is the center of us. In the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there's 89 chapters in the Gospels, and we read all about Christ's birth, his ministry, his teaching, the miracles, his travels, his prayer, his death, burial, and resurrection. But there's only one place in all of Scripture where Christ pulls back the veil and we are able to look at his heart. This is the only place. In Matthew chapter number 11, read it with me, very familiar passage, but in verse number 28. Matthew 11 verse 28 says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Look what it says. For I am meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The only place in Scripture that the Lord shares with us some information about his heart. I found that interesting. He could have said a lot of different things about his heart. And if we were to talk about the heart of God before we read this passage, we probably could have said a lot of different things too. A lot of different words may have come out of our mouth, glorious and righteous and holy and joyous. And we could go on and on and on. But the two things that the Lord Jesus Christ had reserved in Scripture for us to learn about his heart is that he is meek and lowly. So what does that mean? Because I think, just as Pastor Gable just talked about, if we fully grasp the heart of God, we would have no problem wanting to serve that God. The problem is this, that we have a hard time grasping it because we get these unrealistic thoughts about God. A lot of people see God and the world paints him in a comic strip and sitting on some throne with the long white beard. People who are irreverent will look at God like he's zapping people when they step out of line. And unfortunately, that's affected a lot of Christians' thoughts about God. You see God as being harsh or unrealistic, mean almost, or holding back from us. Yet the picture that God wants us to see is that his heart is meek and lowly. So let's think about this tonight real quick. Because I think if we can get a hold of this, it will help us desire to want to just run to him. Amen. Serve him. So what's it mean when he says meek and lowly? Let's stop and think about that. He says, I am meek. The word meek means gentle, mild, understanding of others. There's two people in the Bible that are referred to as being meek. Anybody know who they are? Moses and Jesus. Nice job. All right, Moses and Jesus. You see it in Jesus' life and all of his life, but one easy illustration was he was on the cross when everyone was spitting on him, just mocking him and all that was going on, yet he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Moses, you see it in his life when God said, that's it, Moses. I'm going to wipe them all out. This is Travis Burke's commentary. I'm going to wipe them all out and we're going to start over with you. And Moses said, Lord, blot me out. Have mercy on these people. It's a meek heart. It's having an understanding. It's talked about in Matthew chapter 5, and we're challenged to be meek when the Bible says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. In 1 Peter, the Bible says that we should have a meek and a quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Meekness is strength, controlled. It is a heart for other people. It's willing to suffer on behalf of others, to be kind and understanding. You see, God is not on the throne trigger happy. A lot of people have this idea about God. And everyone will sit there and go, well, of course he's not. Well, then why aren't you fully surrendered to him? Because you don't quite get this. Because if you did, how could you not be fully surrendered to this God? The problem is this, you know, we may be able to check all the boxes and what we know of the, you know, all the answers are, how God is described, but do you understand his heart? He is meek. It means he's understanding. He knows who he is, but he's not sitting on the throne of heaven waiting for you to step out of bounds and ready to, you know, all right, that's it. I was waiting for you to do that. Now I can chasing you. That's not God. He's not short-tempered. He's not reactionary. He's meek. I thought about it when I was studying this, that he is the most understanding being in all the universe. He's meek. I'm not taken away from the fact that he's holy. I'm not taken away from the fact that he's righteous and that he's just and there is judgment. Absolutely, but let's be honest, if it wasn't for his meekness, we'd all be in trouble tonight.
Right, that's right.
But God is meek. He's long-suffering. He's patient with us. For one reason. All right? It honors him, it glorifies him, because that's who he is. Because, look at me, he loves you. Amen. For whatever reason, in the last 10 years, God's ordained and directed my path, and I do a lot of counseling. I did not sign up for that. That wasn't on my hope to be one day, but it's just where I am. And I meet with a lot of people from out of state, out of country. I've sat down in front of a whole lot of different people and trying to help them. And so many people have this wrong view of God. I can't tell you how many have sat across from me and said, Pastor, God is just so distant from me. I just don't think God loves me anymore. I can't please God. And I could go on, but a lot of those same wrong thoughts are going through some of your heads too. We see God as being unpleasable. Like he's a being there that I can't ever reach him. He doesn't care about me. Well, you're wrong. Those are lies of the devil.
Right.
He is meek. He's not waiting for you to, you know, do something wrong so he can bring the switch out. That's not who he is. He is meek. He is understanding. But then it says this, I am meek and I am lowly. Now, that's not a word we use all the time. Not that we use meek a lot, but probably more than we do lowly. I don't think I've ever heard anybody in conversation say, hey, check that person out. They are so lowly. I've never heard that in my life, right? Lowly. What is being lowly? It's kind of, in a lot of ways, it's kind of like humility. But being humble is kind of an attribute. Lowly is an action. Humble is that, you know, that spirit. All right, but lowliness is doing something with it. I give you a simple illustration because you're all just staring at me. So who is safe to ask to come here? Brother Hudson, you can come up here, right? Come on up here, man. Just hop over or do whatever. You dodged a bullet, right? You're next, right? All right, so here comes Brother Hudson. I assume he's a pretty good guy. Yeah, all right. Decent guy, all right? You love the Lord, Hudson? Amen. You want to serve the Lord?
Yes,
amen. You ever done anything wrong?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh. Glad you're not a liar. All right, good, right? Of course he has. Has he ever fallen?
Yes, absolutely.
Of course he has. So there's been times whenever Hudson has fallen. So on the ground, man. Sorry, man. All right, yeah. Yeah, right? That's good, man. All right? Stare at there, right? Now, in all seriousness, some people, we all fall. If you say, I have no sin, you're a liar, the Bible says.
Uh-huh.
Right? You're a liar. And you're really calling God a liar?
That's right.
Because God said we're all sinners.
Yeah.
All right? We've all fallen. God doesn't say, I knew it. I was just waiting on Hudson. You're such a failure. How could you do that again? But you say, that's ridiculous. That's a lot of people's viewpoint of God sitting in our independent Baptist churches. That's not God. God is lowly. You know what that means? This is God. When Hudson falls, this is God. Let's go.
Amen.
Amen.
He reaches down for you.
Amen.
He will come to you.
Amen.
He doesn't stand up here saying, look what you did. He reaches that hand down. He comes down and lifts us up. That is lowliness.
Amen.
So he's meek, he's understanding, and he's lowly. That, thanks, that is the heart of God. That is something that you and I need to get a hold of. That when God says, I want you to know me, and that's what he says. Look at the verse again. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and what? Learn of me. Here's what he wants you to learn. I am meek and lowly. This week is all about, I wore my shirt all day today, Pastor Gable. All right. And I wore my shirt all day, all right? Even at the hospital this morning. Yeah, I had a shirt over it, but I wore it today, all right? And so, you know, on our shirt, right? The sweetest place on earth is being in the will of God. You know why we don't run to the will of God? Because we don't understand his heart. Because if we did, we'd want to be nowhere but right there. He said, I'm meek and I'm lowly. When we talk about take my yoke upon you and learn of me, you'll find rest into your souls. You know what we're talking about? We're talking about being in the will of God.
Right.
Walking with God, letting God lead us and guide us and strengthen us. That is what taking his yoke upon us is and being there. We're literally reading about what it is to be in the sweetest place on earth, yoked up with the Lord, in the will of God, doing the will of God, being led by God, under the power and the might of God. It will never happen until you get a hold of the fact that he is meek and he is lowly. The lowly, you know, I've already been able to watch, right? There's some who are, you know, you just kind of like, you know, you're here, you're cool. Just kind of taking it all in. Still trying to figure everybody else out, right? Some of you don't be a, you know, you have no problem being the life of the party. I mean, I was just saying, right? Yeah, right? You have no problem doing these things, right? Some, you're just, everybody loves you, and you're not the life of the party, but everybody loves you. Lowliness is not that person who demands, like everyone stare at them. Lowly is that person everybody feels comfortable sharing with, talking to. He is meek, and he's lowly. He understands, and listen to me, he is approachable. So many people feel so distant from God, like he's, I could never have a relationship. That's what he wants. You were created, your purpose. So many, you know, have you ever had somebody say, I just don't know what the purpose of life is? I'm going to tell you right now. This is like a big moment for the world, right? Your purpose in life is to please the Lord.
Amen.
You know what pleases him? He said, I have to be a slave. You know what pleases him? For you to have a relationship with him. That's why you were created. You were created to have a relationship with your Creator.
Amen.
To talk to him, to love him, to receive his love, to share your love, to hear from him, to have him work in your life. That's why you were created, to have this relationship with your Creator. And he's not in heaven saying, well, I would like to have a relationship with you, but you'll never be able to make it to me. That's not who he is. He's meek and lowly. You know what that means? He says, I know who you are. I know what all you've done. I know what you're going through. I know what your fears are. I know what your hurts are. And I'm right here to help you.
Sir.
Amen.
That's him. He could have said all kinds of things about his heart, but he said, the only two things I want, if you learn these two things, you're going to yoke up, you're going to walk with me, you're going to be able to enjoy this life. If you understand he's meek and he's lowly, that he is the most understanding and approachable being in the entire universe. What a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thought. He's holy, he's glorious, he's righteous, and everything that I in my flesh am not. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, yet that God says, come.
Amen.
So you see the meanings, so what's the message? Well, we'll look at a verse. Knowing this, what's it? How's that affect me? Number one, run to him. The message is run to him. Look at verse number 28. It says, come unto me. Run to him. Young people, listen to me. The only prerequisite to approaching Christ is if you labor and are heavy laden. You don't have to, look, you don't have to do certain things, all right? Let's put it this way. I believe in holiness. I believe that we ought to live a righteous life. I believe that our music should be right. I believe that it matters what you look at. It matters what you say. It matters what you read. It matters what you wear. I believe all these things matter. But I don't do, and I have all kinds of, you know, if whatever you want to call them, standards of holiness, whatever term you want to use. I believe in them, but I don't do any of them to get God to love me.
Amen.
I don't do any of them. I've never in my life, I'm going to be 49 in a few weeks, all right? I'm still young, all right? I've never in my 49 years of life, like I told you last night, I've never been in a movie theater. Say, does God love you more now? That has nothing to do with God loving me.
Right.
God loved me when I was a sinner. You say, then why do you do these things? Because I love him.
Amen. That's right.
And when you have a relationship with someone, I don't do things to earn love. I do things because I love.
Amen.
This morning I got dressed at 5 a.m. It was terrible. You know, getting ready to go to the hospital. I got my socks out of my drawer. I pulled the socks out. I put my socks on my feet. That's not the end of the story, right? And, and then I pushed the sock drawer back in. You say, great job. No, you don't understand. In my own mind, now this is a different week, but normally speaking, I'm going to get in a sock drawer tomorrow. Who cares if it's completely shot, right? I mean, I'll get it in the next day. But my wife, she can't stand when the sock drawer is open. It drives her crazy when even the drawer with the spoons and knives, if it's open, it's pulled out a little bit, she's like the sock drawer when it's barely open, you know, she doesn't like that. So you know why I pushed it in this morning? Because I know it pleases her. Say, what if you wouldn't have pushed it in? Nothing. She wouldn't have said a word to me. She would have pushed it in. She would not have called me and said, hey, I know that you're at the hospital, but you didn't push in the drawer. She would not have, you know, sent me a text and said, come on, you know better than that. She would not have done any of those things. I did not do it for fear and of the wrath of Stacy Burke. I didn't. I pushed it in for one reason. Because I love her, and I know it makes her happy. You know why I don't listen to junk music? Because I love him, and I just want to make him happy.
Amen.
You know why I don't dress immoral or ungodly or immodest? Because I love him.
Yeah.
Girls, you're not dressing modestly to earn favor with God. You really need to get hold of this. This performance-based life is destroying people, all right? You don't do it to earn favor with God. He loved you while we were yet sinners, right?
Amen.
You say, well, he loves me more now. He can't love you more. You know, this is awesome to me. This is a side note. We're chasing a rabbit right here, but this is a good rabbit, right? Jesus said these words when he's talking to disciples for us, all right? He said, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you.
Amen.
Isn't that awesome? Like three of you like mumbled an amen. You're either a frog or you mumbled an amen. I don't know what you did, right? Right? No, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. When did God start loving Jesus? I see we're filled with a room full of theologians today. Right? All right. No, don't be afraid. It's an easy answer. When did he start loving Jesus? Always. Said, thank you. He always has. When will he ever quit loving Jesus?
He never will.
Never will. When did he start loving him more?
Never.
As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. The Lord's always loved you. He always will love you. And you're not going to earn any more love. Because he already loves you more than we can ever comprehend. Right? You girls just sang about it, right? The love of God. We can't even describe it. Mm-hmm. He loves you. And when we get a hold of this, when we get a hold of he's meek and lowly, we should want to come unto him, to run to him, to say, Lord, here am I. I just want to be with you. I want to enjoy you. I want to run and to just serve you. When we understand that he's meek and that he's lowly. So many people have this misunderstanding of God and they're afraid to surrender to him. Like, if I surrender to God, he's going to make me be a missionary. If I surrender to God, I may have to pastor. If I surrender to God, no, if you surrender to God, it's going to be the greatest thing that you've ever done in your life next to salvation. You say, well, what if God, whatever God wants you to do, you're going to love it. Me, I with held out, if you will, surrendering. I knew God was calling me to preach. I was 16. And God was dealing with my life. And you know why for a while I didn't surrender? It's because I knew you're going to call me a nerd. I wanted to teach history. I love history. I love Alexander the Great. He's my favorite historical character. My son's named Alexander, right? I just love reading and the history. Ancient history is just, oh, it's so awesome, right? Love all this stuff, all right? And I wanted to teach history. I knew God was calling me to preach. I said, but I want to teach history. And finally, I knew God was calling me to preach. I surrendered, said, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I will do. And I went off to college. I trained. I got ready to serve the Lord. Got a degree in theology and pastoring and came and started out of college, and I'm done, you know, with this part of my life and training. And the very first thing my pastor tells me, he says, all right, so we're starting a school, and I need you to teach history class. What? I started teaching history, 1997, you guys weren't even alive, all right? Started teaching history. You know what I taught last year too? History. I've taught it every year. Now, I could have other people, but I'm just like, I'm taking history, all right? All right, because I can. I'm in charge now, all right? Yeah, all right. But I'm teaching history. See, God is not in heaven saying, oh, no, I don't want you to have your life. I don't want you to have fun. I don't want you to enjoy. No, you will not find life until you surrender to God.
Right.
And when we get a hold of the fact that he's meek and lowly and he understands me and he longs for me to have all the blessings that I want and then don't even realize I want. If we'll just wait on that, God will do that, but run to him. Run to him and he'll give you rest. Run to him and learn what love is. Run to him and learn how his heart truly is meek and lowly. He's understanding. You say, well, I've done some rotten things. Look at me. You've never broken the news to God. You've never prayed and said, Lord, I hate to tell you something, but that I did. God has never said, are you serious? I totally missed that, right? No, he already knows. All he's waiting on is for you to understand he's meek and lowly. Come to him.
Amen.
You see, I just don't know. He's already told you the promises. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Amen. You know why? Because he's meek and lowly. Well, I just have fears. You know, he knows. Just run to him. He already understands. He's meek and lowly. I've been hurt. I've been abused. I've had bad things happen. He knows. And he's understanding. And he's meek and lowly. He says, come to me. And I'll give you rest. There's so many hurts in people's lives. People are filled with bitterness. And he is ready to embrace. And the Lord's embrace is never outmatched by our sins, by our insecurities, by our doubts, by our failures, because he's meek and he's lowly. So run to him. The second message I get in this passage is this: rely on him. Verse number 29, well, for 28 says, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden. And then it says this, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Take my yoke upon you. Rely on him. This is the part about getting in the will of God and serving the Lord. It's yoking up with him. It's kind of like, I mean, let's say that, you know, we need to plow a big field, right? So we need a big ox. Hey, come on up here, Brother Mike. Right? Yeah, right? And here's the ox, man. He's a big old ox. Put the yoke on him, all right? And then, why don't you come on up here? Yeah, come on, man. Right? Yeah, yeah. Here's the baby ox. No, I'm not being weird, all right? Yoke up. Boom. Now start plowing the field. Now, you get idea. Walk slowly, right? I'll run out of room in a minute. All right. But they're plowing the field, right? Who's doing the work? He's doing the work. Matter of fact, he's been doing this a long time. He knows where the field turns a little bit. And you know what happens to the little ox? He's just like, okay. Right? Time to turn around. And the big ox turns around. And the little ox is like, yeah, okay. Right? And by the time that the field is being plowed, by whose strength? Oh, the ox, right? That big old ox. His knowledge. His strength. His. But he did it too. Because he's yoked up. He was right there. God doesn't need you to be the smartest person on the earth. God doesn't need you to be, you know, to know the Bible and have it memorized more than anybody else. God doesn't need you to win every Bible Jeopardy game to be used of God. God doesn't need you to come from a certain family to be able to be into the ministry. You know what God, all God wants you to do is yoke up with him. You run to God and take his yoke on you, he'll lead you right back to your seats. He'll lead you. He'll guide you. It'll be his strength. It'll be his power. It'll be his wisdom. Our job is not to have it all figured out. Our job's not to be the best. Our job is just to be surrendered. And if we surrender to God, which, by the way, it's so easy to do, and you understand, he's meek and lowly. And all he wants is for me to come to him. And then he will do the work. And that is the sweetest place on earth, man. Now, I know it's a silly illustration, but probably when that job's done, the big ox is like, whew, I need some hay, right? Give me the water. Blah, 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 blah. Right? That's what he has. That's how an ox drinks. You've seen it, right? The baby ox is like, hey, let's do more, man. That was nothing, right? Yeah, because he did all the work, right? But what has he found? Oh, catch us. He yoked up, he went to him, he yoked up, and he found rest. In the Christian life, the laboring, the field work, it's a joy.
Amen.
It's awesome. Because you're yoked up to the Lord. And the reason why you come to him is because you realize that he's meek and he's lowly and he wants that. And then you can run to him, you can rely on him, and then you can rest in him. At the end of verse number 28 says, and I will give you rest. At the end of verse 29, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. It's a great life. Amen. On this t-shirt, it says John 10, verse number 10, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. God doesn't want you just to have a life. He wants you to have an abundant life. Amen. He wants you to enjoy this life. And this is where so many people, just even Christians, they get off. Young people, they're off track here. If I surrender to God, it's going to be so hard. If I surrender to God, it's going to be so many trials. And I've heard my share of preachers get up and be like, I'm pastoring and it's so difficult. Hey, there are trials, there are heartaches, but I wouldn't trade it for anything. Amen. Because it's awesome to serve the Lord. And I do not care. My dad told me this growing up. I told my kids the same thing. Just be where God wants you to be. My dad told me this 100 times. He said, if God wants you to be a pastor, be the best pastor you can. If God wants you to be a garbage man, to be the most godly garbage man the world's ever seen. But just serve the Lord. But the Bible says you'll find rest unto your souls. That rest that we're talking about is that abundant life. That wonderful life. Yeah, there's laboring. Yes, there's warfare. But he's got it. He gives you rest. As we yoke upon him, it's the sweetest life that we can possibly live. But you got to learn his heart. Once you learn his heart and you yoke up on him, you find these things are true. And you live in his strength with his understanding. And it's a wonderful life. The problem is this. We have too many who have this world's philosophy that's influenced them. And by world's philosophy, I mean this. And I'm almost done. Rich people look at poor people like, oh, yes, I will help feed the starving children, right? I guess. Intelligent people look at ignorant people like me. And they're just like, oh, too bad he didn't know all the things I know, but I'll help him out a little bit if I can. Beautiful people look at ugly people and say, oof, I guess if I have to sit by them, I will. And we kind of get that, but here's the problem. We've put God in that same category. And I'm talking about us in our churches. We know he's holy. We know he's righteous. We know he's just and he's wonderful and he's all-powerful and almighty. And I'm not taking away from any of those things. That is our God. But a lot of times we just think, yeah, that's God and he hates me. Or he forgives me because he has to. I failed, and I know I can ask God to forgive me, but I know he's never going to be pleased with me. I know he just holds his nose and pinches his nose and then blesses me. That's not God.
That's right.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I said I'd use you. Come here, man. Right? I stopped, got me 2 bottles of water and a Coke Zero and a Diet Mountain Dew on the way yesterday. And, no. And a jar of peanuts. And other good snacks. But there's one thing I bought, and Brother Gable saw it, and because my daughter loves these, and so I'm going to use these as an illustration, and then I'll take her the rest. So, and she already knows about it, so she's very happy. But I'm going to give you one. You like Pop-Tarts?
Can't eat them, but okay.
Okay, you can act like you love them.
All right.
You love these things?
Yeah, I love them.
Oh, yeah, good. All right, good, right? Some people, like, they think God's just like, all right, go down there. Yes. Yeah, all right. And this is how they see God. They're like, here's the blessings. The peace that passes understanding. That's what he gives us, right? Contentment. Accepted in the beloved. Joy unspeakable. Full of glory.
Amen.
Here's all these blessings. God's like, here you go. Come on, man, this is for you. Get it, grab it. And a lot of young people sitting in this room, this is how you see God.
True.
You say, that's not how I see God. Then why haven't you run to him? What would hold you back from surrendering to this God? God is all the peace that passes understanding. Here it is, man. Oh, bummer for you. I'm not talking about the world. The world, they don't care much for God at all, unfortunately. They think God's mean and harsh. Well, maybe I'll just give you a little crumb. That's not God. He's meek and lowly. This is God. You love these, yes?
Yeah.
This is all right. This is God. I want you to have these. Take them, man. God is meek. He understands where we are. He's lowly. He gets down to wherever we are. I love the song, when he reached down his hand for me.
Amen.
I was lost and undone without God and his son when he reached down his hand for me. There's no way any of us could ever get to where he was. He had to come to us. And now he just says, come to me. Look, you can pass them out to whoever you want to. Right? But here's the fact. God tonight, I know, picture with me, imagine. But God's at this altar tonight. And he just wanted me to share with you tonight his heart. He's not angry at you. He's not turned his back from you. He's not done with you. He doesn't think you can't be used. His heart, he's meek and he's lowly. And just imagine, please, that God who understands you and wants only to bless you says, come. Take my yoke on you. Know my heart. And you'll find rest. That rest is not, that's not the rest. It's that peace. Mm-hmm. It's that joy. It's that abundant life. It is the peace that passes understanding, the contentment, the relationship, the acceptance, the confidence, the securities, all those things you hear everybody preaching about. You can have it. But you got to come to it. And truly it is the sweetest life when you take his yoke and find that rest. But the reason people don't do it is because they don't know his heart. But I hope you get a hold of his heart tonight. I don't care who you are. I don't care what your last name is. I don't care what church you come from. I don't care what sins you've gotten involved in. You can find forgiveness. You can find hope. You can find strength. And you can find a future if you come to him. Let's bow our heads. Thank you, God, for the opportunity to read this passage tonight and to speak on it. Thank you, God, that you shared your heart with us. Lord, you could have said a lot of different things about your heart, but I thank you, God, that you are meek and you are lowly.